what a great story, huh? Wow. Inspirational. And you know, the theme of what Leanna was sharing there about rejoicing in the Lord, it's carrying through even what we're seeing here in Philippians chapter 3. So I'm very excited about that. And just in general, I am feeling like really good today, just so you know. Anybody else feeling good today? You don't have to be feeling good. That's okay. You could be going, I don't know. I mean, I don't really want to answer that question. That's sometimes we're that way. I don't know exactly what's happening, but I think maybe I'm feeling more excited because there's more people at church today. So welcome, everybody. If this is your first time back, welcome. The first service was quite full as well. I think it has to do with maybe some of you are getting your vaccines. Maybe some of you are getting more comfortable. I know we took away our RSVP system, so you don't have to RSV to come to service anymore. But listen, guys, like I'm an extrovert. I can't preach to the camera alone anymore, right? I mean, I got to have people like in here. I love you guys. I'm so glad you're here. We're still doing everything we can to keep you safe. So I'm ready to preach it today. You guys ready? This is going to be good. Philippians chapter 3. Hopefully, if you're not excited yet, by the end, you're going to be whatever your version of excitement is. I don't know what that is, you know. Hopefully you'll get there. So last week, we looked at the first three verses of Philippians chapter 3. There was a command from God through the Apostle Paul. It's very simple, very direct. It's right from verse 1, and it says, rejoice in the Lord. Everybody just say that with me. Rejoice in the Lord, right? Very basic, right? So rejoice in the Lord is, and this is what we looked at last week. There's a little review so you can kind of catch up. Is this, it's a feeling of inner gladness based upon nothing of this world, but instead based upon God's victory over sin and God's victory over death. So it's totally separate from any circumstance in the world or in your life. So I learned this principle most profoundly by reading missionary biographies. So I don't know that missionary biographies are getting a lot of like attention to these days. So man, I'm about to like give some airtime to missionary biographies. I got three of them to tell you that really impacted my life. First one, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. The second one, Missiles Over Cuba. I don't even know if you can find this book by Tom White, but man, is that an amazing book. The third one was called Evidence Not Seen by Darlene Dibler-Rose. Look, these are so old. I'm not even sure you can get those on like the audio version. I mean, you have to might go old school and actually read these. Shocking, I know. But I'm telling you, if you're looking for like a winter activity hobby, those books, I bet you they would change your life like they did mine. They're amazing. I mean, I felt like I related to these people. I'm like, yeah, like they had, and I read through the story of how they had like everything of this world unjustly and cruelly stripped away and taken from them. And they struggled with resentment and wrestled with doubt. They nearly gave up. And I related to them. It was very real and human, but then they modeled what Philippians 3 is about. They rejoiced in the Lord. It wasn't shallow, like churchy. It wasn't like, hey, I'm putting on a smile and I'm waving to everybody. See, I got my pretty clothes on today. Don't I look great? Everything's great, everybody. No, this was a hard-fought rejoicing in the Lord. They labored in prayer. They meditated on God's word. And they sang worship to God. And as they labored through that, the Holy Spirit met with them and in supernatural ways filled them with unexplainable joy, even though they were being starved, tortured, they had family members being killed and they were being beaten. And I told the Lord, I said, I want to be a man like that. What about you? You want to be a man or a woman like that? Do you want to be a person who looks at the troubles of your life and say, yeah, there's troubles, but you know what? They're light and they're momentary. If you do, today's passage is going to build upon verses 1 through 3 from Philippians, and we're going to look at 3 through 9, and Paul shows us how to become that person. Let's look at God's word together, starting with verse 3 in Philippians 3. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. This is God's word. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. So Lord, as we look at your word together and seek to understand the meaning of your word and then apply it to our lives, we ask, Holy Spirit, be our guide and be our teacher. We ask that you would grow us up into people who take no confidence in ourselves and this temporary world. Grow us up to live so closely with you that we're completely defined by you. So we invite you into this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there's a biographical section of scripture here, and the Apostle Paul, he's modeling for us how he is able to rejoice only in the Lord. So, yeah, the first few verses rejoice in the Lord, but then Paul's taking it the next level. He's like, oh, no, I don't mean like just rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in a bunch of other things. I'm going to take, he takes it so extreme, he's going to say, look, don't rejoice in anything else. Only in the Lord. So you do this in two ways. First off, you take no confidence in our stuff. Secondly, you get 100% of your confidence from knowing Jesus, okay? No confidence in your stuff, but 100% confidence in knowing Jesus. That's what these verses are about. That's all we're going to look at today. Then we're going to take communion together. It's going to be awesome. All right, here we go. First one, no confidence in our stuff. Paul models this as he goes through his stuff that would have been quite impressive. Let me just show you what these are. Circumcised on the eighth day. That means that he was a Jew from the beginning, not a convert. Then he was of the tribe of Benjamin, meaning he was one of the true tribes that stayed true to the house of David. So he's bragging on his family lineage here and saying, hey, my family is very superior. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. Not only was he born a Hebrew, he was raised in the Hebrew traditions, meaning that he did not dilute his Hebrewness with Greek influences. So he was racially superior. He was a Pharisee, which means he was highly educated, zealous about his religious purity, means he persecuted and was killing people that were threatening his religious purity, and then he was blameless in righteousness. He's saying, look, I kept all of the rules that the Pharisees had. So this is his resume, and it's amazing. He was the best of the best, guys. His list was so great that everyone would have acknowledged how great he was, how impressive he was. The kind of person that you would long to meet, be friends with, and maybe they can help you out, give you some favors. And then in verses 3, 7, and 8, he decimates his own resume. In verse 3, he says, I take no confidence in any of it. Verse 7 and 8, he says, I count all of it as loss. And then in verse 8, he even adds on, I actually count it as rubbish. It's quite extreme, isn't it? I mean, you're like, hey, how about have like, give yourself a little break here, Paul. Give yourself a little bit of confidence from some of that stuff. Like, what is he saying here? Like, why is he go to such an extreme? All right, let me show you. Let me help you build the logic through the book of Philippians, right? So if you go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and then through 11, Paul, he's praying now for the Philippians that they'd be filled with love and discernment and purity, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And all of that is coming from the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was given to them. So he's literally praying for them that they would disconnect themselves from this world and connect to the righteousness that Jesus Christ gives them. So there's a disconnect and a connect. And when I say the righteousness of Jesus, what I mean is that they are given the purity and the perfection of Jesus as God sees them. They are now right with God because of what Jesus has given them. All right, that's righteousness. I'm going to say that a few times here so I don't have to repeat the whole explanation. And then look at the next few verses there, Philippians 1, verse 12. In 12 through 18, Paul is rejoicing because the gospel of Jesus is being preached, although he's in jail and he's suffering. So what he's modeling here, even from himself, is I am disconnecting from the world and I am connected so much into the spiritual kingdom of Jesus because of the righteousness I have in Jesus Christ that I'm rejoicing at that. And then he says in verse 21 of chapter 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Literally everything for Paul was to live for Jesus and to disconnect himself from this world, right? He's like, look, you want to kill me? Great, I'll go to heaven. It's all good. You want to let me live? That's great too. I'll just keep preaching, right? What a disconnect from this world. Then go to chapter 2, verse 5. He says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So since you have the mind of Christ, Christian, live with the priorities and the values of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And the priority of Jesus is disconnect yourself from this world and live according to the righteousness that he's given you and rejoice in that. So, by the time Paul then gets to chapter 3, man, the momentum here is building. You sense that, right? He's like layering upon layer upon layer, and he's literally saying now in chapter 3, do not entangle your heart with anything of this world. Like, look, and to flip it a little bit, you say, look, you don't have to entangle yourself and even submit yourself to the yoke of slavery of this world anymore. You're free. Live in that freedom because you've now been given the full righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are right with God. So place all of your confidence in that. All of it. And then rejoice only in the Lord. So I was thinking about how Jesus modeled this same mindset. So we obviously know Jesus healed lots of people and did lots of miracles. So I kind of came up with a little ridiculous scenario that never happened that shows how ridiculous it is to take confidence in your accomplishments, okay? So imagine Jesus has just healed someone. Everybody's amazed by the healing. And now he's walking away with his disciples. And he says to them, he says, you know, after last week, I'm really glad things are going a lot better this week. You know, we've had 7 healings and 3 conversions this week. Things are on the uptick, right? Because last week was tough. Do you notice the crowds last week? The crowds were a little small last week, weren't they? And the Pharisees, they're giving me a lot of trouble. You know, I want them to approve of me. I want them to see my works and like, oh yeah, way to go. But I feel like this week, right, with some of these things that are happening, I feel like I'm trending up. I feel like things are going well right now. I mean, would that be ridiculous? Can you imagine Jesus saying that? You can just shake your head, no. Jesus would never say anything like that. Right? Jesus had this beautiful, total disconnect from what we would call successes and failures in this world. He didn't find any of his confidence in that. His confidence was completely secure, disconnected. So I was thinking about another illustration. So imagine this, right? Imagine a playground with four-year-olds, all right? So on this playground, there's a small slide and then there's a big slide. And most of the four-year-olds, they're comfortable going down the small slide, but a few very select four-year-olds are brave enough to do the big slide. So how ridiculous and laughable would it be for us to be there and we watch one of these four-year-olds climb all the way up the big slide ladder, slide all the way down, and then proceed to, you know, kind of like puff up their chest and do a little strutting around the playground and say to the other four-year-olds, you know, do you see what I just did? I just went down the big slide. I'm the most impressive four-year-old in this whole world. And clearly more impressive than you. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to throw me a parade, you could. I would accept that. Thank you very much. That's how impressive I am. Now, if that's your kid, you might be tempted to join in the strutting. Hey, did you see what my kid just did? That's kind of awesome. But let's not be so small-minded. It's cute if you're four, but it's not cute when you're 40. I mean, what if that four-year-old's dad, after watching his son or daughter do the big slide, climb the ladder, and also went down the big slide, and then boasted and bragged to the other four-year-olds on the playground, "I did it, I did it, I just did the big slide." I mean, we say there's something wrong with that dad. That's what we say. But don't we do that in our own minds, guys? I mean, all of us seek to earn our confidence with other people, our confidence within ourselves, and even our confidence with God by the things we do. See, all of us are seeking to derive our confidence from doing our version of the big slide. And Jesus looks at all of our supposedly amazing accomplishments just like we look at a four-year-old who just did that big slide. Compared to his righteousness and the span of eternity, it's not impressive. That's why the Apostle Paul says, "I take no confidence in anything that I have done. I actually count all of my accomplishments as loss. I count them all as rubbish." That word rubbish in the Greek is so extreme. It's so offensive. If I use that word with you right now, you would be offended. Because we don't use that word, especially in church. So what we're being instructed here is to put no confidence whatsoever in any of our stuff. None. Instead, the second thing that's pointed out in these verses is to put 100% of our confidence in knowing Jesus. 100%. Verse 8 says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Surpassing worth sometimes is translated surpassing greatness. In Greek, it means the super thing. So Paul is saying, for anyone who knows Jesus Christ, who is, by the way, the super thing, He so surpasses anything else in comparison that everything else looks lame in comparison. Everything. Somebody might say, well, you know, I did have the top sales in my region this past year. I was a top teacher, teacher of the year this year. I had a 4.0. And man, when I bring my smoked meat to the party, oh, everybody brags on me. They tell me how good that meat is. And I agree, it is good. I have my own little rubs and I smoke it at certain temperatures for certain times. You know, I've been on 10 mission trips in my life. I've supported 500 missionaries. And I do 5-hour quiet times every single day. And the Apostle Paul would say, who cares about any of it? He actually says in these verses, I've done more. Who cares? None of it is comparable to the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been given to you. See, when the sun comes out, we can't see the stars anymore because there is a brighter light that makes the others invisible. That's like Jesus, who is the super thing. There is surpassing worth in knowing Jesus. And when you know him and experience him, he is so overwhelming, so bright, all of the other little glitter of all of our other good stuff, you can't even see it anymore. See, Christianity is not just like a little power boost that helps you get through the troubles of your life. Christianity is looking to Jesus Christ exclusively for all of your getting right with God, for all of your righteousness. It literally changes the entire way you look at yourself. See, you're not proud when you do well, and you're not devastated when you mess up. See, that is the gospel. See, many people misunderstand Christianity, think, well, I think Christianity is like obeying the Ten Commandments or going to church regularly. And if you really want to kind of take the next step of being a good Christian, well, clearly you give your money to the church. You give some tithes, you give some offerings, right? You stop being immoral and you become moral. You stop going like your own way through the week. You stop ignoring God and you actually start praying to him. Look, that is not the gospel. The gospel is when you realize your efforts are completely and utterly worthless toward earning a right standing with the God of the universe. But see, here's the amazing news. God will give you his favor. He will give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ if you will just ask him and say, I can't do it. I can't impress you. I can't do enough. I'm ashamed of my failures. I'm broken for my sin. And I come to you and I say, I need you. Just like we sang in that song a little bit earlier. And God will give you his favor, his love, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ that you can never, ever, ever lose. And the Apostle Paul, he is living with this mindset. And he's urging us. He's trying to shock us out of our patterns of this world to do the same as him. So let me give you one more kind of a visual to understand this. Imagine that that here represents a life, and like just imagine like it's a cup, right? And I'm gonna represent a person who does not know Jesus. So where does this person find any sense of being right in this world? Any sense of being confident in this world? They don't know God. The only way they can find any sense of being right and good is by all of what they do. They are filled from toe to the top of their head with 100% self. Got it? Now, all the way at the other end of the extreme, here we've got The Apostle Paul, as he was describing himself, or Jesus, right, for sure, Jesus lived this, 100%, toe to top of head, 100% of their identity, their rightness with God, was the righteousness that God gave them. Okay? Now, here's where I feel like most of us would be. We're somewhere in the middle here, right? You might be like, now, what I don't mean, just for clarification theologically, once you go from being 100% self, once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you actually have been given 100% of the righteousness of Jesus. You get it all. But you're not living with all of it. Like, you're not in actual real time in your thoughts and in your heart. You're not really, like, actualizing it. You're not experiencing it. So here's what you'll do. You're like a new Christian. You're like, well, yeah, I've heard some cool things from the preachers. I've read some stuff in the Bible. I feel like, yeah, Jesus loves me. I have unconditional acceptance with him. That's amazing. It's like you're 20% in. But then you're finding your identity, your confidence, who you are in life, with about 80% of yourself still. You guys see what I'm going with this? And then at some point over time, you're like, the mixture changes from maybe 40-60, 60-40, the other end, 80-20 mixed, and then you're feeling really good. You're like, man, I'm 80-20, I'm doing great. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself flipped back to the 20-80 the wrong way. You're like, what just happened to myself? I feel like I just went backward, right? I feel like we live in this middle zone of mixture all the time. And the Apostle Paul here, he's saying, guys, you do not have to submit to that yoke of slavery in this world any longer. Disconnect yourself from all of that stuff and live 100% in the righteousness that Jesus Christ has given you. 100%. And then when you're here, it only makes sense that you would rejoice only in the Lord, which is what it says in verse 1 of this chapter. How awesome is that, right? Now, I don't know where you are in that continuum. We're going to take communion here in a few moments, and you're going to have some time to reflect upon your own heart. But let me give you a few indicators to help you know yourself, to know whether or not you're looking to your own efforts to move toward and to build up your own righteousness, right? If you feel like God owes you something, if you feel like God favors you over other Christians, if you feel like you're a better Christian on your good days and a worse Christian on your bad days, if you feel devastated and depressed when spiritual change is not happening around you, even though you're giving all of your effort to it, if you feel anxious and guilty all of the time, these are all indicators, guys, that you are looking to things of this world, the successes and the failures and your performance, to derive some level of your confidence. You're in this middle zone of mixture. Repent of that. Here's some indicators that you are looking only to God for your righteousness. So this would be some indicators that you're way over here and you're just looking 100% to Jesus to give you his righteousness, and you're doing a pretty good job of kind of disconnecting from this world. So some of these would be, you're joyfully content even when you know you've blown it. You never think God owes you anything. You never think of yourself as superior to anybody else. On your good days and on your bad days, you actually you feel equally good about yourself. You give great effort to love people and serve other people, but you actually have no pressure, you feel no pressure on trying to change anybody else's life. You feel content and free as you go through your days all the time. I mean, do you see the wonderful invitation that Jesus is offering us here through the words of the Apostle Paul? He's literally saying, look, you can live over here in the 100% righteousness of Jesus Christ, And you can be free from the yoke of slavery, of all of those crazy ups and downs. You can live free of the mixture. Man, this really sets us up well for a time of communion together. And if the band would come up here on stage, they're going to start playing some music here. And if you're at home, you can go ahead and get your communion supplies out. If you're here in the auditorium, as was mentioned, the communion supplies are in the rack under the seat directly in front of you. And while the band plays and sings a song, what I'd like for you to do is to reflect. Reflect on these verses from Philippians 3 that we've been thinking about for the last 30 minutes. Maybe you already have plenty to reflect on, and your mind is already, you're in motion. You know what you need to pray about. You know what you need to confess to the Lord. There's going to be one question on the screen, and it just helps to help to prompt your conversation with the Lord. And as things come to mind about how you're trying to boost up your confidence with God, I just ask you to repent of it. Let this be a time where you are reconnecting with the Lord and disconnecting from this world. And if you would, please wait for me, and we'll all take the bread together.